you're going to surely do as long as you accept two ways of thinking that's in complete disagreement. You're going to demonstrate two ways of thinking that's in complete disagreement. Yeah. He says, well, when you're teaching two ways of and demonstrating two ways of thinking that's in complete disagreement, you are teaching conflict and you are learning conflict whenever you demonstrate two ways of thinking that are diametrically opposite. Now, I'm demonstrating conflict because sometimes I'm loving to you and sometimes I'm not.
That's for sure.
That's all it means. I'm learning conflict because I'm trying to believe two ways of thinking it's okay to attack you and okay to have peace with you. So you don't trust me because you don't see no consistency in me. And dishonesty is inconsistency. It's not credit. It's not being credible. It's just, I don't know where the hell you're coming from moment to moment. you're dishonest. Mm-hmm. You're not consistent. You're dishonest.
And sometimes you don't even realize it until really.
Well, we don't realize it because we only identify with the side of our mind that we're using in the moment. So to us, it doesn't seem like there's a split. Because when I'm in my wrong mind, I'm completely in it. So it doesn't seem like there's a split. Right. And then when I'm in my right mind, then I also don't feel any kind of split. That's why we can be in denial about characteristics that we have that other people see clearly. And they tell us about it and freak us out. Because they see the cycle. They see the two people. The you think you are and the you demonstrate. And depending on how you feel that day determines whether or not you identify with the you like or you're judging the you don't like. Two different ways of thinking, trying to accept both of them, teaching conflict, learning conflict.
But don't you think your body could experience that too? Like if you're living in conflict and your body's in pain somewhere, you might be living a lie.
Yeah,
I might need to get honest with myself. If I'm...
The Course says pain is nothing but self-deception. It's like wherever you're hurting is where you're lying to yourself. I love one of my favorite lines in the book. He says, you will weep each time an idol falls. You cry, then you just had some false idea that you thought was true revealed. And that's why you crying. You just had an idol fall. Something that was more important to you than the truth proved to you it wasn't real, which is what anything other than the truth is going to prove to you sooner or later. So it's just a matter of time. And every time you're crying about the loss of something, he said, that's just your idol. Your idol has been revealed. That's why you're crying. Then he says, our greatest idol of all is our special relationships. Special relationships. That's the biggest idol of all, being special, being above others, being separated off for special attention that nobody else gets. That's the idol of the world. That's the most important. The Course says that is the idea that is driving this entire reality. You can always boil it down to, I want to be special. I want to be singled out. And so the Spirit worked that out where your specialness is your special way of expressing the love of God in the world. So your uniqueness is not to be obliterated, it's to be used to bring you and everybody else around you total fulfillment and peace. But it puts you on an individual path that's not shared by anybody else. So then you have to learn how to get in touch with your guidance because you won't be able to use anybody else in a sense as a model for what your function is. But you just came out of society that everybody's trying to be like everybody else, they say. So all of a sudden you have to trust yourself more than you ever have. Because you're not trying to be like everybody else anymore. You know what I mean? So it's deep. It's like when you move into, like he says, if you have no peace, now you know you have peace because you're trying to believe two different ways of thinking that are in total disagreement with each other. But you can't disregard the voice of your higher self because it gets increasingly clearer. Which is good, right? It's funny. It's like you get to a point that you can predict your physical reality because you learn how these laws work. Like I knew today whether there was a Broncos game or not, that there were going to be different people and fewer people. Because yesterday, I made a quantum leap in consciousness. And every time I do that, my class reflects it. Some people come to the next place that I'm at. Some people don't each time. And then new people come to replace the people that's not where I am now. So I knew before I got here that it would be fewer people, because when you make a consciousness shift, it's always fewer people at first. So sometimes what people perceive as being a loss of people in their lives is nothing but an indication that they shifted consciousness. And they are criticizing themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't realize, you just shifted. Now you have people, some people shift with you, some people don't. Mm-hmm. New people will always come to replace the people who are now gone, but with one small, not so small difference. What? They'll be more harmonious. Mm-hmm. They'll be cooler.
Mm. Why do we have a habit of feeling like we're cold for leaving people behind?
Because we don't realize it's for their own best interest. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like you never feel bad if you feel like it's a blessing, like somehow or another it's benefiting both of you. Then it's impossible to feel, guilt about it. You may feel like you missed having that person in your experience for a minute, but as far as you're feeling guilty about it, it means that you're not really clear in your mind that it's for both of you all's best interest. Because once you became clear of it, like I just went through that with releasing the relationship. Yeah, I had to clearly see how that was the best thing that could happen to both of us before I could let it go. But as long as I looked at it as a loss, then it was going to cause me pain. Yeah, that's what I love about this. And it's beginning to gel in my mind in a way that I can converse it and see it, and so my reality is changing. But one of the things that took me to this other level of consciousness was, I went to this workshop yesterday. It was like 11 hours straight. Mm-hmm. That was called the soul hunting. Mm-hmm. and going through rites of passage. And it was this African American shaman who's also did heart transplants. Gave the workshop. This guy was like brilliant, and his whole purpose was to take us through a series of practices that would allow us to take back the pieces of ourselves that we gave away through trauma and fear and other people throughout our lives. Where the minute you go through something really painful, you shut that part of you down, and you don't access that power, and you create a hole in that spot where you repressed. And that hole is where your ego resides. And then your ego's job becomes to protect you from that thing that frightened you like that. And so then your ego looks at itself as your defender. And so as soon as you get ready to deal with the thing that used to frighten you, but now you're ready for it, but your ego will still fight you on it, because it's been trained to protect you against that ever happening to you again. So even when you try to open yourself up to that new level, it'll fight you, but out of a misguided sense of protecting you. And that's what the ego is. It's a part of us that believes it's protecting us by killing us. It's deep. It's to say that. But how many times in your life have you said, I just wish I was dead? I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life that I felt that depressed, that I said, I just wished I was dead. Death seemed like it was a solution. And the ego is just trying to speed you to that conclusion. Yeah, and you get to the point you catch yourself and you see you doing you in. And all of a sudden it trips you out because you thought it was your brother or sister doing you in, or you thought it was your creator doing you in, and all of a sudden you see it's you doing you in, and he's in the course. So that's the point that's the most critical, because that's the point either way you're going to kill yourself, or you're going to realize that you have another choice. Because since it wasn't your brothers and sisters doing it to you, and it wasn't the creator of the universe doing it to you, then now you have somewhere you can turn for help, because those people weren't your enemies and God didn't either. So you're actually in the best position of all to get help you never had before. Because now you realize that the help is not the enemy. Mm-hmm. See the difference? Mm-hmm. But some people, they just choose to take themselves out. Because it's too painful to think they did this to themselves. Mm-hmm. But that's really the crowning moment of transformation, is when you realize that. So, and I'm telling you, I'm going to hit some more of this paragraph because it gets better. Mm-hmm. Okay, he says, yet you do want peace, right?
Right. Yes.
Or you would not have called upon the voice for peace to help you. If you didn't want peace, you wouldn't have called on the voice for peace to help you if you didn't want peace. The lesson that you're going to get from the part of you that wants you to have peace